This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Matt Doyle producing, and as is our Thursday custom, Mark Ballard, the Capitol Bureau Chief for The Advocate, the newspaper of record in Louisiana, is with us, and the whole world is buzzing about impeachment later today. In fact, about an hour from now, the president is slated to address the country regarding his acquittal in the Senate. The vote was 52-48 on one count, 53-47 on the other. And Mitt Romney became the first senator from a party of a president to vote for the removal of that president from office. His thanks is that President Trump's son has used the P word to refer to Mitt Romney, who once boxed Evander Holyfield, by the way. I don't think that's something Donald Trump Jr. has done. But Mark Ballard, the GOP lawmakers, as your colleague Elizabeth Crisp reports in today's Advocate, are miffed over Nancy Pelosi. Harsh words from Steve Scalise saying the country was watching. It was unbecoming of a speaker. Talking about Nancy tearing up the speech of the president. Bill Cassidy says it's a shame that Nancy Pelosi would rip apart a copy of the speech so she can go viral on social media. And Representative Mike Johnson, who was on the Trump legal team, called Nancy's response a very sad moment for this country. Your thoughts about their response, Mark Ballard?
Well, I mean, it was not unexpected. I mean, I think that regardless of what she did, and certainly I have trouble figuring out why she did it or whether it was a good thing for a statesman to be doing, but certainly you knew that that our delegation was going to be critical of the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi with whatever they said. This just kind of gave them an opportunity to focus.
Well, the president did refuse to shake hands with Nancy Pelosi, so this was a tit-for-tat kind of situation. But Nancy Pelosi, if you remember, I thought she was so eloquent and gracious when Steve Scalise was shot in talking about their common Italian heritage and how they were friends, but friendship goes out the window sometimes when it comes to politics, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does in this kind of partisan world that we're living in, where the separation is so extreme and so angry.
The president warmed up for his speech to the nation today by saying he resented people who said they were praying for him when he said clearly they're not. And once again, he's referring to Speaker Pelosi, who claims she prays for the president nightly. I don't know. Maybe she does.
And is that really something that we want to take her to task on?
She might be praying for.
Right. You know, I mean. Well, but as previously mentioned, it's we're in a partisan world where anger seems to be the realm. And he's just reacting to that. So,
well, and I must commend many of our listeners who said called Bill Cassidy's office and John Kennedy's office to give their thoughts about impeachment, and in particular whether witnesses should be called before the Senate. And Senator Cassidy's office says it has fielded almost 7,000 calls. So I don't know that all of them were listening to Talk Louisiana, but it's good for people to be engaged. And in this case, the senators took the calls. Kennedy said he got lots of calls as well. But in the end, Mark, no surprise on how they voted.
Not at all. I mean, I think we've been talking about it for, I guess, weeks now, that that it didn't matter quite what was brought out, that that there was a certain fealty to of our Republican delegation towards the president, and that they were going to be supporting him and backing him regardless of what the evidence was. And for Mitt Romney, I mean, I don't know, I mean, if he had some sort of political calculus going on, but you got to respect someone who is not following a party line. And forget about what the vote, what his vote actually was, but the fact that he did vote against his party kind of shows a statesman-like standing in my mind.
And as mentioned, he's been called names by the president's family, and that's par for the course. But this is a family which has never had a member serve in the military, nor has Mitt Romney, by the way. But for these people to question a man's masculinity, it seems a bit much for anyone named Trump to do that, but that's what they have done. And I suspect in the next 38 weeks or so, the intensity of the campaign and the passions of the electorate will be in full bloom, and at times it may not be so pretty, Mark.
Right, and I think, though, that the fact that he did go up against a popular president and is a sign of masculinity, that he looked at it and came up with his own decision, which is kind of why we send these people up there in the first place.
I have an email from a gentleman from Lafayette who says he went to high school with Donald Trump Jr. That would have been in the Philadelphia area, and that Donald Trump Jr. was on the lacrosse team and lasted one day before he broke his arm. Now, we wouldn't wish that on anybody, but apparently he's kind of like his dad. He's not an athletic guy. David in Lafayette says, why was it okay for the president to ignore Nancy Pelosi's outstretched hand? I thought her paper dance was amusing, not a smart thing, but amusing. And as he adds, is Congressman Scalise capable of independent thought?
Well, those are his opinions. I kind of agree that the way the president acted and certainly the way the speaker acted was not a show of statesmanship that we would have expected from our federal leaders.
Well, on another topic, James Gill, your colleague at The Advocate, has a column today in the headline, Cantrell won't pay her taxes, but you must pay your traffic camera fine. The mayor of New Orleans, who has gotten, for the most part, good reviews, owes about $95,000 to the federal government. Now, this is not a good optic for a city that, of course, has lots of challenges to have a mayor who's not paying her taxes.
I have to agree with you there, and it certainly was it's not a good optic. And, I mean, she's going to have to pay her taxes. I mean, that's the one thing that we can be sure of, is that they will get their money back.
They will. And James Gill is a very good writer, too. I don't know what is worse, to have the IRS after you or to have James Gill on your one-yard line. He has a way with words, and it's a very good column in today's Advocate. Another headline in today's Advocate is about cyber attacks, and the governor is warning that we could have more of them.
Yeah, I think that's the way of the world is now, is that there are cyber attacks. He came and spoke to the small town, the Louisiana Municipal Association, which is made up primarily of the smaller towns. The big cities are also members as well. And it would have a bigger impact on the smaller towns than it does on the bigger cities, because you're talking about an expensive way to get around these cyber attacks, which some of the smaller towns and parishes just don't have the money for.
Well, Mark Ballard, when we look at this governor, as he moves ahead to next month and the start of a legislature, this conservative wave has overtaken the Capitol. We have noted that this governor could be impeached and convicted without one Democrat saving him. All the Democrats could vote to protect him, and he could still be impeached and thrown out of office. I don't think that's going to happen, but it has to be a very uncomfortable feeling for the governor.
And the conservative wings of both the Senate and the House are already showing that they're not going to be going along, that the bipartisanship, you know, is elusive right now. I mean, we saw that with in the REC, which you were just talking about with the commissioner. They are blocking the qualification of that money that can be used in the budget. So we're going to be seeing that. The Republicans held a caucus or a conference, a retreat over the last couple of days at the beginning of the week. And their main topic was not the budget. Their main topic was tort reform. And that likely will be our first sign of them flexing their muscles by passing through a sweeping omnibus tort reform bill that Democrats and the governor are not on board with. And if they get it passed through, then there could possibly be a veto override initiative.
And it could be successful.
It could be successful, though they'll need to pick up a few votes in the House for that to happen.
Edwards' clemency total dwarfs Jindal's. That was the headline in Sunday's Advocate. This might surprise people who know that John Bel Edwards in his campaign of 2019 was characterized often as a bleeding heart liberal who was letting all these thugs out of jail. When it comes right down to it, he's been more reluctant to let people convicted of crimes out of jail than his predecessor, who, as we know, was a card-carrying conservative.
It is. It's hard to make a sweeping generalization about that because each of these cases are individual in nature, and they're looking at how long they've been in prison and what their record was like in prison. But the governor has been proud of the revamp of the criminal justice system, and so it was not surprising that he is letting folks out of jail. And granting them where necessary clemency.
Well, Mark, thank you. And a listener notes that we should not finish the hour without mentioning the loss of Kirk Douglas, 103 years old. He died yesterday. What a life and what a career. We should all be so lucky.
I was shocked to see that.
Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial.